Adivinandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabandho Dagatate Gopalisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Sute Tapta Kanchen Gaurangi Rahe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Vana Sute Devi Pranamaliri Priye Panchakalpa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyeja Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 20 The Rainy Season and Autumn, text number 49. Vanik Muni Ripa Snata Nirgamya Artan Prapedire Varsha Ruda Yata Sida Swa Pindam Kale Agate Vanin Muni Ripasnata Nirgam Yartan Prapedire Varsha Ruda Yata Sida Swapindan Kala Agate
Swapindan Kala Agate
Vanik
Vanik
The merchants
Muni
Renunciate sages Ripa
Kings
Snata
and
Brahmachari
students
Nirgamya
going out
Artan
their
desired objects
Prapedire
obtain
Varsha
by the rain
Ruda
checked
Yata
as
Siddha
perfected persons
Swapindan,
the forms they aspire for.
Kale,
when the time.
Agate,
has come.
Translation
and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The merchants, sages, kings, and brahmachari students, kept in by the rain, were at last free to go out and obtain their desired objects, just as those who achieve perfection in this life can, when the proper time comes, leave the material body and obtain their respective forms. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, in Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful. Then, because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful then, because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram. The mercantile community, the royal order, and the great sages were free to move to achieve their desired benedictions. Similarly, the transcendentalists, when free from the engagement of the material body, also achieved their desired goal. During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another, and so do not get their desired profit. Nor can the royal order go from one place to another to collect taxes from the people. As for the saintly persons who must travel to preach transcendental knowledge, they also restrain by the rainy season. But during the autumn, all of them leave their confines. In the case of the transcendentalists, be he a jnani or a yogi or a devotee, because of the material body, he cannot actually enjoy spiritual achievement. But as soon as he gives up the body, or after death, the jnani emerges into the spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Lord, the yogi transfers himself to the various higher planets, and the devotee goes to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan, or the Vaikunthas, and thus enjoys his eternal spiritual life. That's in the Bhakti and the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Rainy Season, Autumn in Vrindavan. So this is from the light of the Bhagavat. The merchants, preachers, kings, and students who are confined to home during the 4 months, June, July, August, and September, begin to flow out and attain success in life, just as perfected souls attain the required body as soon as they leave the present one. Purport. And the people in general, especially the merchants, preachers, kings, and students, are advised not to leave home during the 4 months in the rainy season. These 4 months are known as Chaturmasya, and for everyone, there are specific rules for observing this period, particularly for the sake of health and partly for spiritual realization. During this period, the merchants cannot do free business. Dedicated souls like sannyasis cannot freely preach the doctrines of the Vedas, kings cannot go out to tour their estates, and students cannot go to their schools, which are closed. Oh, 4 months off. That's why people, Guru Kul must have been quite nice. But to speak of the holidays, you get full 4 months off every year. But after the Chaturmasi period, they all get their freedom to go out and perform their respective duties, and by doing so, they can achieve the results they desire. In the same way, one can achieve the desired result of one's penances until one attains freedom from the present body. There are various ways to practice the various kinds of yoga to attain various results in various spheres of life. It is not that everyone is the same. There are varieties of life, varieties of planets, and varieties of success and spiritual realization. And all these can be achieved only when we have finished the Chaturmasya-like period of life. It is a foolish imagination, therefore, that we can go to other planets in the present body. If we want to go to Devaloka, the planet of the demigods, we must achieve the required qualifications. And the same is true if we want to go back to the kingdom of God. If we want to remain on this planet in some better condition, that will also depend on the required achievements. In any case, those achievements can be fulfilled just after one leaves this body. The merchants, preachers, kings, and students are the four important sections of human society. The four important sections of human society. The merchants should see that everyone gets his proper share of the food given as a gift by God, The sannyasi preacher should go from door to door to preach the sense of God consciousness, not to build mosques and temples, but to enlighten the people. The king should go out from his home to see with his own eyes how things are going on. Maharaj Parikshit, while on tour, saw a man, Kali, attempting to kill a cow, so the king at once punished him. And students should gather knowledge wherever is available. The combined work of these four sections is meant for the general welfare of society. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Pasgyatya De Satarne Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitri Yanti Patri Rataha Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Madhya Jino Pima. That those who worship the demigods, they go to the planets of the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts or the spirits, they go to those planets. Those who worship the ancestors, go to the ancestors. And those who worship me, come to me. In other words, Krishna is very kind. We can get whatever we want. Of course, we probably don't know what we want. Just like a child, if the child tells the mother that I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat, then it's very clear what the child wants. It wants to eat. But the child says, I want to eat, I want to play, I want to go to sleep, I want to fight, I want to get up. Then the mother will wonder, what does the child really want? Similarly, most people don't know what they want, and therefore they get many varieties of things. Sometimes we want this, and sometimes we want that, sometimes we want this other thing. We want so many things, and then we're surprised in our next lifetime how we get such a variety of emotions and experiences and ups and downs and this and that, because we never really knew what we wanted, and so we get a variety of things. Just like bees, when they gather pollen, according to the pollen they gather, they come back to the hive and they make honey out of it. So that honey will taste according to the pollen that was gathered. It was a mixture of different honey, a different pollen, then the honey will have a mixed taste. Therefore, the Bhagavatam tries to give us some direction in life, what the purpose of life is. But not that everyone's going to follow Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam will explain that if we don't follow Bhagavatam, if we don't fix our mind upon Krishna, if we don't make Krishna the objective of our life, if we don't make devotional service as the objective of life, then what we can expect? We can see where people are in general going. Just like the person who's sitting on the branch of the tree, on the edge of the branch, and he has a saw in his hand. And he's sawing the branch of the edge of the, or the part of the branch, which is closest to the tree. And one man walks by and says, my dear sir, if you keep on sawing the branch, you're going to fall down. And the man on the tree says, just go away, you're so pessimistic, you never say anything positive, you're always predicting bad things are going to happen. So he keeps on soaring, and finally he breaks the branch of the tree, and the branch falls down with himself on it. And then he runs after the man who had cautioned him and says, sir, please, wait. You must please tell me my future. You must be an astrologer. Similarly, the material nature works uniformly, and even on this planet, we can more or less understand that if according to people's activities, they're going to get certain results. Therefore, especially in this age, where people's activities are quite simple. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. More or less people are living in order to increase these things. According to what particular sinful activity? I forget who it was when he got initiated by Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked him when he got initiated, he said, what are the four way of the principles? And he gave the four way of the principles. You know who that was? And then Prabhupada said, so which one do you like the best? So that's the material world. Some people like one sinful activity more than the other. And therefore we have varieties of bodies. To those who like meat, there are many varieties of carnivorous animals. In case you like your steak raw, or you like it, whatever, you may get the body of a tiger. If you like birds, you might get especially chicken, you might get the body of a hawk. So there are varieties. Krishna is very kind to the living entity. We shouldn't be surprised that there are so many different varieties because people like different types of sinful activity. But if one has a little knowledge, then one can see that it is not a good idea. Just like Murugari the hunter, who was half killing the animals, when he actually understood that he was going to have to become an animal himself. And it wasn't just by Narada Muni's grace. It wasn't Narada Muni said, please read Srimad Bhagavatam because you'll understand that you might get into trouble. No, it wasn't something theoretical. Narada Muni was so powerful, preacher, that he was able to show Murugari directly what was going to happen to him. So when he saw all the animals attacking him that he was half killing, he had a change of heart. Similarly, we have to be able to, we may not be as powerful as Narada Muni, which we're not, but at least we should be able to convince people somehow or another that if you keep on following this road, you're going to wind up at this certain destination. And that destination is not where you really want to go. People don't believe that if I kill animals, eat at a restaurant, that I'm going to have to come back as an animal. People don't believe if I kill the child in the womb, that I'm going to wind up in the womb and be killed by a future mother myself. They don't believe it. Nor are they even presented that possibility. That's the Veda culture. Just like in the Veda culture, the person who likes to eat goats, which is relatively harmless compared to what other people are eating, but that's about where it stopped in the Veda culture. There is no provision for killing cows or other such animals in the Veda culture. You could eat a cow if you were a cobbler, after you skin the dead cow's skin off, then you had to do something with the flesh so you could eat it. The cobblers could eat it. But they weren't allowed to kill the cow. The Veda culture more or less stopped at goats. And it was advised to take the goat up to a hill where no one could hear its screams. On a new moon night, where no one would see what you were doing, and whisper into the goat's ear a mantra. The mantra was that now I'm going to kill you, cut your throat, but don't worry. Because in your next lifetime, or in some future lifetime, you're going to come back as a human being, and I'll be a goat, and you can cut my throat and eat my flesh. So after doing this enough times, saying it enough times, finally you might hear what you're saying. And you might think, my God, these goat burgers, they're not, they're really not up to standard anyhow. And I'm going to have to come back as a goat and have my throat cut? Forget it. I always thought I should be a vegetarian. In other words, by the process of the Veda culture, people directly or indirectly, generally indirectly, they became convinced to lead a pious life. First of all, to regulate their life in such a way, according to the Vedic knowledge, so that gradually they could understand that what's the consequences of their activities. The Vedic philosophy is actually quite simple. It's very, very simple. The Vedic philosophy is that we're not the body. And that is very easy to perceive, as we know. The body changes, and we don't change. So a thoughtful person, with even a little thoughtfulness, can immediately arrive at the conclusion, that's right, I'm not the body. And the second thing is that there is a person named, we usually give him the name of God, or we call him Krishna. There's someone controlling things in this universe, and those are called the laws of nature. And no one since time immemorial has to pass the laws of nature. Even the most powerful personalities who have tried to do so fail. And right now, the most important law of nature, which is most obvious, is that our body is changing. And no one, no scientist, no mystic yogi, no one can stop the body from changing. Change is the word. Even Subari Muni, who was able to transform his body into that of a youth because of his mystic powers, he couldn't stop his body. After doing that, that was a transformation itself. He simply got a new body, even during this life. And then he couldn't stop the body from keep on changing also, until he got to the point he got frustrated and renounced everything again. So change is the word in this material world. And change is going on systematically according to certain laws. Therefore, the person who's controlling everything, Krishna says, kalos me, time, even if we don't accept Krishna directly, we have to accept time is controlling everything here. And we're under the control of time. Although we're different from the material nature, we're subjected to the material nature under the direction of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that everyone's going to get the results either of their activities or their desires or their conceptions under the laws of nature, which are governed by time, which are changing everything. Therefore, we can expect some kind of future. Prabhupada said the young boy, the child, he knows he'll have a future if he lives that long. The youth knows he'll have a future. The middle-aged people, they know they have a future. The old people, they think there's no future because they don't know that they're a spirit. But actually, there is a future for them too. Everyone has a future. And what that future is, we're going to have, we decide according to the knowledge we have. If we have no knowledge, then the modes of nature will decide for us, like the animals. And if we have some knowledge and we accept that knowledge, then we can make a decision what kind of future we want to create for ourselves. Here it says during the rainy season there are certain impediments, and therefore the general classes of persons, like the students and the kings, the sannyasis, the merchants, they cannot get their reward. But when the time comes, then the reward will be there. So similarly, sometimes it appears that since we're in the midst of the modes of material nature, we're not getting the result immediately. But that's the way the material nature works. We've created this body because of our past desires and activities. We can't claim, how did I get here? This is unfair. I'm a nice person. I'm a devotee. How can this be happening to us? Krishna, if he was a nice person, why would he put me in this situation? Something's wrong somewhere. And it's true, something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong with us, with our understanding of things. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Ridvag vapuvir vidadanamaste jiveta yo bhukti mukti sadayava. That the devotee, when he can actually see things properly, he doesn't complain. That how is this happening to a nice person like me? I should only get the best because I am the best. And if God is worthy of being God, then he should make sure I get all the best. And if there's some problem, obviously it couldn't be caused by me because I'm doing all the good things. So there must be something wrong with the controller. Or maybe he's not in control. Something, some speculation. Now, somehow or another, we've gotten this body, and this body has a destination, and generally, it doesn't change very much, especially old age, disease, and death, and the problems that come with that. But this is supposed to be an impetus for us to make spiritual advancement. It's not simply meant to torture us or to put us into some difficulty that we have to go. It's meant to give us the awareness that this is not the place to be. Otherwise, we'd want to stay here forever, even as devotees. We'd want to stay, because that's our nature. We get attached, and now we're attached to being in the material world. We're even attached to this body. As I mentioned before, we take the body as our worshipable deity. We'll do anything for the body. Even to the point of praying to God to please protect my body. Although it's a dead body torturing me, we'll go to the highest person in existence to pray to him, please make sure my dead body stays with me, that I don't leave it, so it can keep on kicking and torturing me forever if possible. Because we don't know that what is the purpose of the body, we're not convinced, we're not so clear, or how to utilize the body, or how to, the tolerance. We're not simply supposed to tolerate the ups and downs of material existence. It's supposed to serve as an impetus to fix our minds upon Krishna. And when we realize that even when things are not so bad, we shouldn't think, well, things aren't so bad. It might be good forever. I might enjoy forever. It might be up forever. No coming down anymore. So what do I have to think about Krishna? My problem solved. Thanks a lot, Krishna. Any other problem comes on, I'll give you a call. No, even when there's no problem, still we should fix. We should realize it's always a problem. Therefore, when people say, "How are you doing?" you start saying, "Well, it's really a tough place. This material world, I'm suffering like anything." People say, "Well, it's the last time I'll ever ask that person how they're doing." That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear the typical reply, "No worries, mate. Everything's all right. I'm good. I'm good." You're good for what? You're good for nothing. But that's not what people want to hear. Therefore, there has to be some formality. Yes, sure, everything's cool, right? I'm just about to die at any moment, but it's all right, no problem. And I don't have the faintest idea where I'm going, which particular hell is awaiting me, and what brand of dogs are going to escort me across the sands so I reach the hellish kingdom where I get judged and tortured forever. But it's all right, it's good. So this knowledge is so valuable, one should try to understand it as clearly as possible, practically, so that the ultimate purpose is achieved, that we fix our mind upon Krishna, even in this lifetime. Then we'll become happy, we'll become free from all our anxieties, everything will become clearer, there'll be no more lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion, which are the usual things the varieties of taste we go through. It won't be there, but we won't miss it. It's not that we'll think, "Oh, it was so nice when I was nice and lusty and greedy and angry all the time." And besides that, we used to get a little illusion, envying, and madness sometimes too, just to make everything even nicer. No, we'll forget about it, and Krishna consciousness will become normal, just like madness, illusion, lust, anger, and greed are quite normal for us. When they go away, we think we're liberated for a second. We think, "I've achieved liberation." And then we wonder, where are they anyhow? What happened to them? I feel kind of weird, liberated. I feel a little uneasy now, you know. Krishna, what happened? You know. So after a while, we'll get used to our higher consciousness. It won't seem so strange. And then we'll become more or less normal eventually. So in the meantime, we have to tolerate the ups and downs, try to practice the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting to Krishna, so that we actually think about him with the proper emotion of trying to please him, although it may seem rather artificial now, but try to do that the best we can, and Krishna will help. Things will become clearer. So, thank you. Are there any questions?
Sometimes on the devotional path, due to bad habits, before becoming a devotee, one may kind of place it, my advancement in Krishna consciousness, like a train station. The train comes at a certain time, in other words, I surrender, and there must be some reciprocation from the Lord. And now, what is the proper attitude a devotee should have when Krishna, to be patient? It seems like patience is a symptom of surrender. The devotee has to be patient towards Krishna's plan for him. He can't expect supreme. So what would be the best?
Well, I guess the first thing is to recognize it is part of Krishna's plan, and Krishna is not interfering with our plans. That's part of his plans. We think we want God to be all potent, all have all potencies when we want him to get what we want. But when we think of God interfering with our plans, we don't want him to do that. So we want to make God all powerful for what we want, and we want to make him have no power for what we want. So we have to see that if somehow or another Krishna has his activities here in the material world, but he has his limitations too. He says he's like the judge here. He's not appearing in his all-powerful form where everything goes his way. It does go his way, but he also takes into account what we want. It's a reciprocation between ourselves and Krishna. So we're worried about God being all-powerful and controlling our lives. In the meantime, God is reciprocating with whatever desire we become attached to. That he hasn't changed at all. In the spiritual world, he's concerned with what everyone else wants. And here, he's also concerned with what everyone wants. And then we blame him for it. We're afraid of him because we're afraid he's going to control our lives, you know, we're going to become like a robot, you know, sweep the floor. I don't want to. Remember the material world, kid?
Yeah.
You know, you don't like it here? You'll be back there. No, God, please, no. I'll sweep the floor. Anything. I love you, God. So we have to understand Krishna hasn't changed at all. He's just here in the material world, he's neutral because we demand him to be neutral, more or less. We want him to be neutral so we can go on with our activities of trying to take his place, which can never happen, but we want it, so he reciprocates with us. Any crazy thing we want, he'll do. And if we want something sane, he'll also reciprocate with that too. Therefore, good association means we find out what's sane, we see a good example, and then we try it out, and we find out it works, because Krishna's not some uncontrolled autocrat who's just looking it over to lord it over people, and as soon as there's some weakness, I spotted it, you're a finished kid. Or some bumbling idiot who can't, you know, keep things under control, so the devil comes sometimes, and sometimes God, there's a big fight going on, we're in the middle, and we don't know what's going on. So many speculations. No, God is very kind. We just have to be very careful. Because some thought comes by, some material thought, because it's all conditioned thoughts, we become attached to it. What can Krishna do? He can try and discourage us, but if we keep on being persistent every time it comes up, then we keep on, you know, gluing ourselves to it, and we refuse to change it, then he'll try and help us, but he's not going to force us to get rid of it. And that's where all our problem comes from. because the thought leads to an activity, the activity leads to karma, and karma leads to reaction, and we got to experience the reaction. So we have to understand Krishna, why it's so important to take shelter of him, how he can actually protect us. Not, and by doing that, it's not that we'll become a robot, that, or that we'll just be forced, you know, Krishna will just think of a variety of ways just to keep us engaged in his service so he can feel good about lording it over us forever. No, Krishna, that's not his mood at all. It's simply one of unalloyed love for us. Trying to, and because we have a certain desire to please him, and he has a desire to please us, therefore that goes on in a very nice relationship forever. That's called the spiritual world. It's not that only Radha and Krishna eat and everyone else looks at them as stars. No, everyone's enjoying the same way there, out of love. Anything else? It's always nice being here. Thank you for laughing at the jokes. It's nice philosophy. So if we keep on hearing this philosophy, study these books, try and put them into practice, then everything will become clearer and we'll all become happier and happier and happier. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj Ki Jai.